This week's parsha is a Bishalach and culmination of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus. Of course, contains the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and the Jewish people emerging safely on the other side. The Egyptian army being drowned, being consumed by the waters, and what follows is the Jewish people singing a Shira, singing the Az Yashir. I just want to focus on just like two words in this week's parsha. So the Jewish people famously sing the Az Yashir, and right after they sing the Az Yashir, we're then told that there's a separate group that sings as well. Famously, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah, Miriam the prophetess, Achos Aaron, the sister of Aaron, she takes Esatof Biada, she takes a tambourine in her hand, Vateitzena Kol Nashim Acharea, V'sufim B'mcholos, the women follow after her with the tambourines and with dancing. Atan Lahem Miriam, and Miriam calls out to them, Shiru Lashem Ki Go'ga'a, sing to Hashem, for he is exalted above the arrogant, having hurled first and with its rider into the sea. So I don't want to focus specifically on why Miriam did this, at the symbolism of her and the women specifically singing the Shira. The Mefarshim point out that we highlight the role of the women here, because after all, rabbis say, B'zuchus nashim tzidkanios, v'gulu avosinu b'mitzrayim, and the merit of the righteous women, our ancestors were redeemed from Egypt. So specifically, we're highlighting that the role of the women here, celebrating and offering praise to Hashem, highlighting again that central role that they played, Miriam specifically, according to our tradition, her having the looking towards the future and encouraging her children, her parents to once again have children, and understanding that there will be a Jewish future, not to give up. So that's all very important and very significant. But I just want to focus on two words, and that's the way Miriam is introduced in this pasuk. She's a Neviah. She's been told she's a prophetess. And Rashi says, how do we know that she gave prophecy? Rashi says, Kishahaisa achos Aaron kodam shemolad Moshe. Amra sida imi shetelet bein. She was the one who prophesies, according to the Gemara says this in Masechta Sota, that a redeemer will be born, her mother will have this child, ultimately will help redeem the Jewish people. So she had that, she already had that prophecy and conveyed that prophecy before Moshe was born. Okay, so that's why she's a Neviah, she's a prophetess. And then here's the strange part. We're then told, Achos Aaron, that she's the sister of Aaron. And the question is, why is that important here? Number one, why do I need to know that at this juncture? And number two, wasn't she also the sister of Moshe? Right? And so why the emphasis that she's the sister of Aaron? So almost every Mefarish is bothered by this question. They all wonder, like, why is the Torah making this point right now? So I'll share what Rashi says, for example. Rashi says the following, basically what I just read, that when did she give this prophecy that a Redeemer would be born? She gave the prophecy when just her and Aaron were the only children, right? Moshe was not yet born. The parents, Amram and Yocheved, only had two kids at that point, Miriam and Aaron. So we're highlighting that fact, right? We're trying to celebrate that reality that again, if it's all about her being a prophetess and her looking forward towards the future and recognizing that the Jews will be redeemed, that the Jews ultimately will emerge from this terrible situation. So when did she give that prophecy? When she exclusively was a sister of Aaron? That's what, right before Moshe was born. That's what Rashi suggests. I'll come back to that in a moment. The Ramban, his commentary here, he says, Hanach anachon be'inai, ki b'nei shehuskru b'shira Moshe or Miriam v'lo huskru Aaron b'kan. Right, since Moshe and Miriam were mentioned in connection with the song, Az Yashir Moshe, right? We hear that Moshe leads the Jewish people in a song. And here it's Miriam leading the women in a song. Ratzah Kozel Haskiro, the Torah didn't want to leave out Aaron. He wanted to throw Aaron in the mix. Amar Achos Aaron, Derech Kavod Lo, Shehu Achichem HaGadol. It wouldn't be bekavodik, wouldn't be honorable, respect. It'd be disrespectful not to mention Aaron, who's the older brother here. So that's why he's thrown it. That's the Ramban's suggestion. And then he says, "V'yitachein shederech haksun liyachis es godol achim." It's also possible that's the way of the Torah. He gives many examples that we always mention a sibling through the oldest of the brothers, and he gives a lot of examples where. And I think the Rashbam makes this point too. That whenever we quote a sibling, we're always going to connect them to it to an older sibling. Okay, so that's a technical answer. Okay, again, but still the question is like, why is it so important, you know, to know why at this juncture is it so critical to know that specifically that Miriam is the sister of Aaron? So there's one or two other possibilities, and I'll throw in what I thought. That maybe is the answer. The Netziv says the following: Achos Aaron, Lamdenu Shahisa Nevuasa Me'ein Nevuas Aaron. It's to tell you, the main focus here is for us to know that she was a prophetess. That's the most important thing right now, to know that she was a Neviah. What type of prophetess was she? Was she like Moshe? So no, she was on the same level as Moshe. She was on the level of Aaron. Right, Moshe, we find out later on in the Torah when the three of them have this unfortunate incident with the Lashon Hara regarding Miriam and Aaron talking about Moshe and the wife that Isha Kushit that Moshe married. So there, Hashem says to Miriam and Aaron that Moshe is different than you, right? That I speak to Moshe face to face. That there's more direct prophecy that I have with Moshe as opposed to the prophecy that Miriam, and now we're being told according to the Tziv, it was being equal to Aaron's prophecy, was this lower level prophecy, where how most prophets receive prophecy, it would be asleep and in a dream, God would appear to them. But with Moshe, it was different. Moshe, when Moshe was awake, God would directly speak to Moshe. It says the Tziv, Al-Ino be'erach nevuas Moshe. Miriam's prophecy did not equal that of Moshe, or only equal that of Aaron. Okay, and that's why we focus on her being the sister of Aaron. One final approach, and that is the Rav Hirsch, so something very beautiful. He says, Aaron's sister, he says, amongst the women, she occupied the position that Aaron held amongst the men. Very beautiful. That knows as beloved as Aaron was to the men, that on equal plane, that was the relationship that the women had with Miriam. As he says, as Aaron spread amongst the men the word that was revealed to Moshe, so did Miriam amongst the women. So so Aaron and Miriam, their role was to share what Moshe had heard to the people. Aaron spoke to the men, and Miriam spoke to the women. That's the approach of Rav Hirsch. I like to give the following suggestion that perhaps connects to some of these things we just mentioned. Again, the question is, why are we focusing on the fact right now we need to hear that she is the sister of Aaron? So we may have made this point in the past, and that is, I know we spoke about this in Sefer Bereishis. That one of the themes that emerges in Sefer Bereishis is that siblings don't always get along, right? That's a major theme of Bereishis, that there's a lot of tension and strife between siblings, starting with Cain and Hevel and going all the way through Yosef and the Shvatim, his brothers, the 12 tribes, and the one exception, of course, is Ephraim and Manasseh, right? Ephraim and Manasseh seem to get along. And then all of a sudden you come to Sefer Shmos and we're introduced to a new set of siblings. And here it's two brothers and a sister. And it's Aaron and Miriam and Moshe. Right? So you have these three siblings, and it seems like on a whole, they work very well together. right? They together lead the Jewish people. Each one has a different role. Again, the corner of first, Miriam. But we don't know a lot about Miriam's role. Again, we see her leading the women in song. Refers goes a step further and saying that she often was the go-between between Moshe and the women. So that, an additional role. According to our rabbis, we have a tradition that in her merit, the well, of, right, the bear, the well of water was in her merit. So she certainly plays a prominent role amongst the people. Moshe, of course, is a leader. Aaron is the Kohen, and it seems like it's a very good partnership. Where do we first see the three of them together? Where do we first see all three of them working together? So there is a fascinating Baal HaTurim who suggests that very early on we see the three of them together as young children. Young children all sort of helping out and protecting one another. And that is right when Moshe is born. Right, when Moshe is bateva, when Moshe is put in the basket. So there is a very interesting pasuk that again, also our rabbis struggle with. And it says the following, right? So Moshe is put in the basket and placed in the water. And batetzav achoso mirachog l'radeya mayaslo. And the sister, right? So Miriam is in the distance. She's hiding behind the reeds to see what will happen to the baby. And that's when the daughter of Paro comes to wash and to bathe in the river, and she sees the teva, she sees the basket, right? And the basket is brought to her, and then the pasuk says the following: She opens up the basket, and lo and behold, there's a baby inside, right? There's a baby, and then it says vihine nar boche. And the Nar is crying. Batachmolov, and she has compassion upon him. Batomer, and she says, Miladei Hayrimzed, says this must be a Jewish child. So the first of all, struggle with that word Nar, that the Nar is crying. And because Nar the is often used as an older child. So, you know, not as a baby. So everyone tries to figure out exactly, you know, what kind of... Did Moshe have an appearance of an older child? Was his voice deeper? Everyone has like these different suggestions. But the Baal HaTurim has this fascinating theory. And he says the following. He says that, let me get the exact words. Vinei nar boche, ze aharon. Who's the nar here that's crying? It's not Moshe who's crying. Maybe Moshe was crying too. But in addition to Moshe crying, Aaron was also crying. Shehenichaso Eitzel Hateva. He too was nearby. And he too was sort of tagging along with Miriam. Nar Bocha Begematria is Aaron a Kohen. And Nar Bocha, he says, if you do the numerical Gematria, I didn't figure this out to see if it's right, but I take his word for it. He says that it's the equivalent of Aaron HaKohen, that Aaron HaKohen was present. So this is a beautiful imagery. You have the three little children, like they're all little, right? Moshe's a baby, and Aaron was what, 3 years older, right? He's a little boy, he's a Nar. And then you have Miriam, the older sister, they're all within a couple of years of each other. And the two older siblings are watching their younger child. And we, from our own children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, right, you see this, right? You often have the older kids, you know, who will take care. Sometimes they beat up the little kids, but hopefully, you know, most of the time, they at least when the kid's a little baby, they take care. They take the baby out for a walk, right? They help out with the baby. They get a look. Once the kid becomes a toddler, then they become annoying. When they're babies, they're cute, so they'll help out with the infant, with the baby. So that's what you have here. So I think it's very beautiful. You have Miriam, we'll take Rashi, right? Rashi in the Gemara in Maseches Sota. You have Miriam who gives this prophecy as a young child. And in fact, you know, another child will be born to her parents. And that child will be the savior. And I'll just read the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara, this is the Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Daled. Batikach Miriam and Aviyah Achos Aaron, Velo Achos Moshe. Again, the Gemara asks this question. What? She wasn't. Why do we say that? You know, she took the musical instruments, and she takes the women, and she's the sister of Aaron, but she wasn't the sister of Moshe. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Shehaisa Misnava Kishehi Achos Aaron. Right, when she was only the sister of Aaron before Moshe was born, she gave this prophecy, Omeris, and she said, Asida Imi, my mother is destined, Shetelet Ben, she's going to have another son, Yoshias Yisrael, who's going to save the Jewish people. Now that's what Rashi quotes, but the Gemara continues, and there's more to the story. What happened? Ubishah Shenolad, and then when she did have this child when Moshe was born, Ali called Bias Kula Ora, the entire house filled with light. Right, it's clearly it was a sign from God that, and indeed it's true that the Savior has been born. Entire house filled with light. Amad Aviyah, her father stood up. Her father Amram, and Amram, according to Chazal, is the one who initially had decided that the men should no longer be with their wives. No longer should we have children, right? Because Paro's just killing and destroying all the babies. So why the baby boys? So why should we have children if this is what's going to happen? But now Amram sees, that indeed the prophecy has been fulfilled, the baby has been born, this light has appeared. What does her father do? A very beautiful imagery. Benushka Rosha, he kisses Miriam on her head. Right, wow, she with such vision that she has, and she's so strong and such hope, and she herself was able to bring all the people back together. Amrullah. He said to his little daughter, Miriam, Biti, my daughter, Niskaiman de Voaseich, your prophecy has been fulfilled. Yeshakayach. But the Gemara continues. What happens next? The Kiva and Shishlichu Lior, but then when they had to put Moshe in the basket and place him in the river, Amad Avia, at that point, her father stood up. What do you think he did? The Tafa Rosha. He gave her a hit on the head. Said, my daughter, where's your prophecy? In other words, he'd given up Amran. That it all came for naught, right? It was false. Now the kid's going to die. What are you putting on the river? He's going to die. So when she got that slap on her face, what did she do? She didn't go to her bed to cry. What did she do? She went out to see what was going to happen, because she knew she was right. She knew that the prophecy that she received was real, and she didn't know how he would emerge as a future leader, but she just wanted to see what was going to happen, because she knew one way or the other it was going to be fulfilled. But that's Maya Basovna. She wanted to see what was going to happen at the end of her prophecy. That's the Gemara, a very beautiful Gemara about the vision of Miriam. But the Baal Turim is adding is not only does Miriam do that, but Aaron also tags along. Aaron also has that hope, right? Now, as long as the older generation gives up, but it's the new generation who has that young blood and that they still have hope for the future, and they still believe that the world can change and be better. So that's this young generation. That's Miriam and Aaron, and therefore I think when it comes to the Shira, right, the Az Yashir, so now this is now the culmination, right? This is the moment where everything now came together. This is the moment that they now could finally celebrate, right? Now her prophecy indeed has come true, right? It's now been fulfilled. It's now clear. The Jews are now safe. The Egyptians have now drowned. The Jews are on the other side. Moshe, right, he's the leader, and he's leading the people in Shira. But Miriam is right there with him, right? Miriam is she's this is her moment to celebrate, and her moment to take credit. And so I just want to suggest that's why it mentions Achos Aaron, because it's also a credit perhaps to Aaron as well. It's mostly Miriam, but again, if the Baal term is correct, that Aaron was also there and also was tagging along with Miriam, and he also was believed. And it's Aaron who ultimately becomes the voice of Moshe, right? That the Moshe has all that hesitation at the burning bush. And God says, well, Aaron's going to speak for you. And Aaron is there side by side. So So again, that perhaps is what again I think there was the Ramban we saw, you know, said that we don't want to leave out Aaron here, right? It first sounded like a strange suggestion of the Ramban, right? Like, once we mention Moshe Miriam, Uskar Aaron Bakan. We're not going to mention Aaron as well, right? So that's kind of funny. We have to mention Aaron. The answer, no, we of course you have to mention Aaron, because it was the three of them together. Right, it was all of them who played this this critical role. Moshe's the leader, but it's Miriam's vision, and it's Aaron assisting Moshe hand in hand. That they all have to be there together. And this is the moment for the three siblings to really celebrate and to get their credit. I'll just end by suggesting that's what makes the story then in the story in Parshas Bahalosa so a little bit upsetting. Because what happens is, again, you have the three of them, but then Aaron and Miriam are very concerned about Moshe. Moshe and his wife, right? They don't like what's going on. He's like sort of separated from his wife, and they sort of say, you know, we're awful prophets, right? Why are we? Why is when we don't, you know, we're not separating from our spouses? Get the exact words of the Torah. This is at the end of Parshas Bahalosa. So the Torah tells us, the Torah says, "Batazraber Miriam Aaron b'Moshe." All three names are run right after the other. This is the beginning of Parakeet Beis and Sefer Bamidbar. Batazraber Miriam Aaron b'Moshe. And they said, right, Aaron and Miriam say, Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, v'lo gam bano diber. Right, Galilee speaks to Moshe, he speaks to us also, right? We're also prophets. Right, Shema Hashem and Hashem hears. So at this point, right, so Miriam misreads, right? I think I once said this in a previous year, I think a couple years ago. You know, Miriam is sort of like mothers Moshe. Right, in many ways, right, throughout these 40 years, and throughout his entire life, she mothers him, right? She takes care of him, and she's so protective of him. So here, you know, she's sort of, you know, also she can't, she thinks Moshe's sort of doing something wrong by separating from his wife, and she wants to sort of step in, and Hashem has to tell her that you misread this situation, right? You misunderstand. I have a different relationship with Moshe than I have with you and Aaron, So what could have happened here, and I think this is a credit to the three of them, this could have unraveled their entire relationship, right? It had been so strong for so long. This could have been the moment where things perhaps could have fallen apart. But God immediately tells us about Moshe the following. It says, right, Moshe is different. And I speak to Moshe face to face, and Aaron turns to Moshe at this point and says, "Oh, look what happened to Miriam, right? Look what happened to Miriam." And what does Moshe do at that point? By Yitzak Moshe El Hashem Limor Kel Na Rafan Allah. What does Moshe do? He's not angry at Miriam, but he prays for her to get better. In other words, Miriam took care of Moshe in his time of need when he was in danger in the river. And now in her time of need, now Moshe is taking care of her. Again, Aaron is sort of always the one, sort of the go-between. Aaron's always the one, you know, sort of tagging along and helping out. And so I think it's a credit to the three of them. How, you know, and often in our lives and every relationship that we have, there's ups and downs, right? There's moments when things are wonderful, but then there's moments, whether it's among spouses, whether it's a marriage, with children, with friendships, whatever the case may be, that there's often moments of tension. And the question is, you know, how are you going to be able to manage that difficulty? Are you able to get through? And often depends how strong the relationship is and how committed you are to that relationship. And I think you see beautifully with these three siblings that it was a very strong relationship. And even this great moment of crisis, you know, they were able to not navigate it. But it all began, you know, back when they were little children. It all began when they were all looking out for one another. And again, they're going to have to spend these 40 years in the desert. They're going to be very difficult dealing with the Jewish people. But our parsha is their moment to shine, right? Our parsha is their moment to celebrate. You know, and really, you know, the sad thing is that really the three of them should then lead the Jewish people into the desert and into the desert and ultimately into the land of Israel. But unfortunately, the people weren't ready. The sin of the golden calf, the sin of the spies, you know, unraveled that. But in no way should that be a blemish on the three of them, right? They did exactly as they were supposed to. They led the people and their merit. Again, our rabbis tell us the mun appears and the clouds appear and the water appears all in the merit of the three of them. But at this particular moment, at the Yam Suf, is all three are serving as leaders of the Jewish people. Moshe, of course, is the leader, leads them across, leads them in song. But refers, you know, tells us, but don't think that Miriam and Aaron don't play a role, right? They're the conduit between Moshe and the people, Miriam with the women, Aaron with the men. And in this moment where Miriam is singing, you know, is singing, and Moshe is singing, says Ramban, don't forget it. We can't forget Aaron too. Right, because it was a partnership between the three of them. It's a credit to the three of them that the Jewish people were ultimately redeemed. And I think, as we always do, we always learn lessons from the Torah. I think it's an enduring message to all of us in terms of, you know, how we work together, and each one brings their own strengths and abilities. We're told later on, Aaron Moshe is Anav Mikol Adam. He's the most humble of all people. Right? We leave our egos at the door, and instead we work towards a goal of, in this case, you know, for ultimately for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and together, you know, these three people as a model for all of us are showing us and demonstrating to us, you know, what we need to do and how to work together. And hopefully, like Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam at the Yam Suf, that we too will have moments to be able to celebrate and to, you know, bask in the glory of all that we're able to do, accomplish specifically when we work together. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.